Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. We are on episode, actually, I don't even think I have written down. I don't even know what episode we're on. I think it's 199, actually. I'm almost positive. Somebody type in the chat what episode we're on. I'm almost positive it's episode 199. I appreciate all of you being here. It's going to be an amazing night. Let me just double check that we're live because my thing is showing that there's nobody on the chat. So hold on. Give me a second, guys. I think we're live. Let's just double check here. Oh, we're live. Good. Cool. There's people. All right. So gotta love live streaming. Nothing ever works. The moment we hit live, we did a test stream. And then, you know, right when we go live, things stop working, which is fine. But it's going to be a great night. I have my good friend here, Angela Scafidi. No, her name's not Angela Ucci anymore. Her name is Angela Scafidi. You can find her on YouTube. I know I said her name wrong the other day on my live stream accidentally, and I corrected myself. But she's a good friend of mine. I love her and her husband so much. They're just genuinely so humble, anointed by God. And I've told her this before. Every time she says things, they have meaning and value and they're anointed. And so she has so much powerful stuff to share all the time. I tune into her live streams. If you guys are not subscribed, I know I'm supposed to do this at the end, but if you're not subscribed to Heaven Healing Podcast, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You need to subscribe. The link is down below in the description. So she just has a lot of amazing stuff to share. And so tonight we're going to be talking about that. But before all that, Angela, how are you doing tonight? How are you feeling?
I'm great. Yeah, 2 years plus married, 16-month-old later. Definitely not Uchi anymore, but it's fine.
I'm stuck. My brain's stuck. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Yeah, I'm great. I'm really happy to be here. It's been a while since we did a stream together. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to this conversation. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. We're going to be talking tonight, guys, about the Kundalini spirit, about chakras, basically about the new age deception in general. I know right now, Angela, as there was when we first met, there's so many people swept in by this new age deception. We were just talking today about there's somebody, we won't mention their name, but they have a large following. They're reaching millions of people with new age deception, and it's their channel's growing, their page is growing. As you guys see, Christian influencers reaching millions of people for God, there are also demonic influencers that are reaching millions of people for Satan. There are demonic apostles, demonic prophets that are propagating a new age agenda. And the new age agenda points you back to you. It points you away from Christ. And it says, you are a savior. You can save yourself. You can manifest your own destiny. You can speak things into existence. So there's a lot of new age deception. I know yoga is a huge topic of discussion we always cover because it's very popular. Yeah. There's churches that are doing yoga. Yoga has really infiltrated the body of Christ and infiltrated the mainstream and has become kind of like a Trojan horse where people think it's innocent and it's fine. And I've seen so many people demonized by practicing yoga. So of course, we'll have to touch on that tonight. But let's start, Angela, with how deep you were into the whole chakra system, the Kundalini practices, yoga before you came to Christ. Maybe just touch on your testimony because I want people to know when Angela's talking tonight, she's not talking from a place of, I researched it on Google. I got it from ChatGPT. Right. She was in this. She was in the New Age movement. She was teaching yoga. She was teaching how to open chakras. She was teaching astrology for many years. She had a large astrology podcast where she was literally reading people's charts. You know, for a while, she thought she was an alien. I mean, it goes deep. She was all involved in this for a lot of years. And I recently sent someone your videos and I was like, look, because they didn't believe me when I was telling about New Age. I'm like, listen to her because she was in it and she has so much to say about it. So maybe we just start there with some of your testimony and how deep you were in the New Age.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So I was like deep, completely deep end. And it's like, you know, I've been thinking a lot and just like in fellowship with people as we're talking about New Age and like the occult, like come to realize that in a way when we call it New Age and we like use like the, it's kind of like fluff terminology because what it actually is an antichrist. Like this, this is playing with the devil. Like this is straight up an antichrist religion. It doesn't matter like how cutesy it looks. It doesn't matter how trendy it is. It doesn't matter how innocuous it looks on the surface. It doesn't matter if we do use like the, I guess, culturally correct terminology of New Age as like the umbrella term for it all. It is straight up antichrist and there is nothing cute about it. Like there's nothing trendy about it. It is completely demonic. And I'm not using that as an allegory. I'm using that literally, like you said, Isaiah, I'm speaking from, this isn't like secondhand theory that I have. This is real lived experience that by the grace of God, he pulled me out of, and what the enemy has meant for harm in my life, God has ultimately used, not just for my good, because I've just come to realize this last 3 years, my testimony is so much bigger than me. You know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So whenever I expose these unfruitful works of darkness and testify to the goodness of God, what that is doing, like that ripple effect it's creating, is it's testifying that Jesus is going to do it again, and he will do it again, and he is doing it again. And I say this all the time, that there is such a new age exodus right now. He is just leading people out of Egypt and into freedom. And yeah, I'm just so grateful every single day it continues to just, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And the scripture has been on my mind a lot, that like God uses the things of, you know, uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And that's just how I feel all the time. Like, it doesn't make sense that he's used me to this degree, but again, it's so much bigger than me. And I know that it's because it grieves the Father's heart that so many people are engulfed and entangled within this Antichrist spirit. And the thing about it is that it presents 2 Corinthians 11:14 style. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. How interesting that the mantra of all New Ageism is all like light and love. Okay, it presents in that same masquerade that the devil shows up as, because he doesn't come with like a pitchfork. If if anyone had approached me saying like, "Hey, do you want to get a demon?" I would have said, "No, thank you." I was actually terrified of all things darkness, Isaiah. Like, I used to do light rituals where I would have to like kind of mask the room in this like white orb, and you know, I'd burn my sage and I'd go through the cleansing because I was so paranoid of dark energy, which is just like completely ironic because that's all that I was working with. But my point is that many people, including my former self, that are wrapped up in this stuff, they have literally zero intentions of communing with darkness, of entangling themselves with any demonic spirits. But that's 100% what's happening, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the thing about the spirit realm is that it doesn't operate in fairness. Like, no, it's not fair that I was deceived. It's not fair that like millions of people around the world are continually deceived by the New Age. But the spirit realm does not operate in fairness. It operates in legalness. And the devil doesn't need it to be fair. He just needs the door to be open. And that's what you're doing when you're engaged and entrenched with these practices, because, you know, not only is like the root corrupt, so the fruit's going to be rotten, but it's like the practices themselves are contingent on witchcraft. They're contingent on sin. They're contingent on, like you said, idolatry of self that completely circumvents God, and sometimes even uses the name of God or uses the name of Jesus through the self-exalting modality, which is even worse. But when you're opening this door to sin, you're opening the door to the demonic. And I mean, I could go on and on, but my point is, like, to answer your question going all the way back around the barn, is that I was really deep in this stuff, and I was into it because I was seeking healing. You know, I won't share my whole testimony. I've shared it before on your channel, my channel, but I did not know that there was any true healing power in the name of Jesus. I didn't know I could have like an actual encounter with the Holy Spirit. I just knew what I knew, which is that this stuff, the occult, is very popular in the mainstream, and it's just what people do, right? So when my grandma died, I sought out a medium. That was the first domino of many that just led me down this path. It just snowballed over the course of a decade where I needed more and more and more and more and more of it. Like, I was like a spiritual drug addict, just garnering all these narcotics. And it was twofold, because I was addicted to it on one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, as addicted to it as I was, none of it would work long term. Like, I would get bouts of relief, but never everlasting peace. And so it's like, well, I must need another thing and another thing and another thing and another thing. And so a part of these things was the chakra system. You know, when you get involved with Reiki, when you get involved with yoga, it's like inevitable that you're going to learn about the chakra system and read this book called The Wheels of Life, which is basically the Hindu chakra Bible. And so what I came to believe was that, you know, we all have this energetic chakra system within us. And if you're experiencing XYZ symptom, which we'll talk about in a little bit, then it's because one of your chakras is out of alignment or there's an energetic blockage and you ultimately like need to cleanse that out, whether that be through the yoga practice, whether that be through Reiki, whether that be through crystal magic or whatever the case may be, shadow work, meditation, like 50,000 quadrillion modalities, all the second Corinthians 11, 14 new ageisms that you can access to quote unquote cleanse your chakras. And so the whole point of cleansing your chakras in terms of Hinduism, because that's where the belief is rooted in, is to achieve enlightenment. So we'll talk about the Kundalini spirit. It's all interwoven. You know, the belief is that we have this serpent. And like, Isaiah, you thought it was silly when I told you I thought it was an alien. Well, the Kundalini spirit is believe that there's an actual serpent that like is at the base of all of our spines that's just sitting there dormant, and you have to like awaken it through chakra work. And it like literally like slithers up your spine through your chakra system and out of your crown. And people are like, wow, that sounds really good. Like, oh, that's true enlightenment. But like when you talk about it now in hindsight with actual spiritual eyes to see, you're like, that is like trademark demonic, yeah. Like trademark demonic. So I was like really into all that stuff. And yeah, like I said, I taught it through yoga and I taught it through Reiki and I did it myself through my own rituals and my own meditations. I even correlated it with the moon cycles. So I would really lean into that heavy with, you know, whatever zodiac season we were in, or if it was like a new moon or a full moon, if it was about activating the chakra or if it was about releasing something from the chakra. Like I correlated everything with the moon in one way or another, cause I was obsessed with astrology. But yeah, does that answer your question? I think I talked for like 10 minutes.
No, I think it's so good that we talk about this because people are watching and they're like, why would two Christian influencers, preachers, leaders be talking about chakras? And I think the reason why it's important we expose it is people think it's innocent. People don't think it's wrong. Yeah. Angela, there's right. well-known pastors that I called out years ago that were teaching people how to open up their third eye in the church. They were teaching prophetic classes on how to open up your third eye, how to tap into your chakras. And I also want to discuss this. They were saying, well, you know, it's just part of the God-given system. God gave us chakras. God gave us this part of our spirit that he wants us to engage in. Even though it's not in the Bible, he wants us to open it up. That is so demonic. As you said, that is an antichrist spirit that masquerades as an angel of light. And what I really want to draw the line is tonight, guys, is there's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's a lot of people that want to be Christian. They want to pray and fast and go to church, but then they also want to be involved in the self-help. They also want to be involved in yoga. They also want to be involved in all of these entrepreneurship classes that have a lot of new age practices in them. Talk a lot about the spiritual realm. And I want you to know you can't have both. Guys, this is another spirit. This is a demonic spirit. And you might say, well, that's being narrow-minded. The way to life is narrow. Jesus was narrow-minded. We have to stop with this whole, we need to be open-minded and we need to accept everything. No, we don't. Jesus came, did not preach acceptance, did not say everybody gets in. Jesus said the way that leads to life is narrow, difficult, and few find it. So this is really not up for debate, guys. This is really not up for negotiation about whether it's okay to tap into your chakras, or it's okay to open up your third eye, or it's okay to get involved in yoga, or it's okay to get involved in angel cards. This is demonic. These spirits, as you said, masquerade as an angel of light. And I also want to point out what you talked about. Angela did not think she was doing something evil. I think a lot of us have the misconception about the New Age movement or about even witches that they know they're doing something evil. They're conjuring up spirits. A lot of them are doing it innocently. A lot of them are doing it because, and this might shock some of you and you might not agree with me, they genuinely want to help people. And is that true, Angela? They genuinely think that they're helping people with these new age practices when they don't realize they're actually bringing people under these demonic powers, these demonic spirits, and this deception. And you see constantly in Hollywood, all these people, I'm just thinking of one family in particular, right? That everybody knows, which is, oh man, the Kardashians. They all say they're Christian, which is mind blowing. And then they all manifest and do all this witchcraft on their stuff. But then they say, oh, we're Christian. We go to church. We believe in God. That's like really the anthem of Hollywood and the anthem of Los Angeles. Everybody's Christian. Everybody believes in God. But at the same time, everybody's dabbling in the occult. And that's what it is. It is the occult, guys. All the new age stuff we're talking about is the occult, and it comes innocently. And you might say, Isaiah, what's wrong? It's just innocent. How could stretching open you up to a demon? How could doing a body pose open you up to a demon? How could flipping some cards open you up to a demon? How can playing a little Hasbro, who makes Ouija board, by the way, open you up to a demon? How could doing some Reiki, tapping into my third eye, doesn't make sense? And that's the thing we're trying to tell you guys, is the devil comes innocently. It does not come with a pitchfork, and you are opening up the door. And I want to make this point, and then I'll toss it back to you in a minute here. When you open up the door, you don't get to say what comes through. Maybe, just maybe, those of you listening right now, your depression is linked to the fact that you're doing yoga at your church. Maybe your anger and your suicidal thoughts are linked to the fact that you're constantly watching self-help gurus learning how to manifest your destiny. You think you're doing good, but then you don't realize all this other stuff is coming in. And that's like you talk about the hamster wheel of anxiety and depression. And it's like, you're miserable, Angela, one side as a new ager. Well, meanwhile, you're helping everybody get free and get healed and get peace while you're tormented in your own mind. It's such a paradox that you have in the new age movement where there's so much anxiety, so much depression, so much sickness, which also, if you guys don't know, opening yourself up to this stuff will cause you to be sick. And we just get sick and think, oh, it's nothing. It's just, I'm sick. You know, I just got cancer. We don't really think that there could be a cause to that. There could be a spirit attached to the diagnosis that you have. But when you open yourself up, it's a dark world. It looks fun. It looks like light, but it is a dark world. At what point in your walk, what was the turning point where you're like, this isn't from God? Because I think people need to have that turning point where there's a moment that you realize, I know you have a story about your grandmother. There's a demon that was coming to you that was basically posing as your grandma. And then you finally realize this is a demonic spirit. What was the turning point where you're like, I'm done with all of this and I'm fully surrendering to God?
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to see my full testimony, go to my channel for it. It's like 3 hours, but the skinny of it is after I called out to Jesus for the first time, it took me actually 3 months until I was convicted of what I was doing. Because what happened was I recognized, oh, well, there's real power in the name of Jesus, right? I said, Jesus saved me. He delivered me from depression, anxiety, and intrusive thoughts like overnight. Hallelujah. But I'm like, okay, great. So I can add him as kind of like, you know, just a weapon of this tool belt of spiritual artillery that I have. And I just kind of incorporated him. I did try to make him the focal point, like of the astrology and, you know, yoga, I'd read Psalms. And with Reiki, it's like, well, now I'll call on God instead of universal life source energy. And my crystals, I'll pray with them, like, you know, treating them like Catholics treat rosary beads sort of thing. But it's like that's not how it works. Like, we don't get to decide how God is approached. Like, God gets to decide how God is approached. And like you're saying, there's no kingdom of neutrality. Like, there's a kingdom of light or a kingdom of darkness. You can't just like be a fence technician and have your feet in both. Like, you need to be all in with the light. And so the moment I realized it was 3 months after my initial encounter with Jesus, where I did start reading the Bible. And that's the thing about the Bible, right? Like, it's alive. I read thousands of other books that were full of spiritual death that never sliced through to my very spirit the way that the Bible only can, because not only is it alive, but it's a sword. And that's what it did. Like, it penetrated, it pierced me. And I experienced conviction for the first time. I read Isaiah 47, all about astrologers. Like, God is rebuking the Babylonians for their astrology. Basically says they're no fire to sit before. They can't save you. They're going to burn up in their own fire. And it was like that moment, like everything happened at once. It literally, like, in a matter of seconds, but it was like in slow motion almost, where they say like your life flashes before your eyes. And it's like that moment I truly died and I was born again. And it's like I felt the weight of the 27 years of my life up to that very point. And I felt like it wasn't like shame. It wasn't, you know, because God doesn't shame us. It was just conviction. It was just like this holy burden that I didn't know was possible to experience, because he was literally giving me a new heart and making me a new creation, like in this very moment where I'm like, oh, wow, my eyes are open suddenly. It just all like just downloaded instantly. Everything I'm doing is demonic. It's all evil. I need to get rid of all of it. I cannot do yoga. I cannot do astrology. I cannot do Reiki. I cannot do tarot. I cannot do crystals. I cannot flirt with all these other religions and philosophies. Like, I'm done with all of it. So I burned all the books, including the Wheels of Life. I burned all my old channeling journals. I got rid of, smashed all the thousands of dollars of crystals, all the astrology stuff and the cards. Like, again, thousands of dollars worth of books. And because I read every other book except the Bible up until that point in my life, just all of it, just completely like axe style, like burned it all. And ever since then, like, I've just been on this mission that I, you know, it's out of the heart that I have for the Lord and for those who are lost. Like, I just want to see blind eyes open, because the nature of deception, like you're talking about how people have good intentions. Well, exactly. Because the nature of deception is like, you don't realize you're being deceived.
Yeah.
So you're going to think you're doing the right thing because it feels good, because it produces real results, because all this stuff actually works. And we'll talk about why the chakra stuff actually works in a minute. Again, it feels nice. There's result, there's fruit, even though it's counterfeit fruit. But the thing about it is, like, just because something's spiritual doesn't mean that it's holy. Just because something works doesn't mean that it's righteous. And so all this stuff is operating through spiritual adultery. But, and so you can't have both things. Like you were saying, you can't have spiritual adultery and be operating in true spiritual authority at the same time. Like, there's one or the other. And so all this stuff, it's of the kingdom of darkness, it's spiritual adultery, and God does not work through it. God will meet you there. He met me there, but he didn't leave me there, and he didn't work with me. Like, you know, like, people like to say, like, you partner with God. Like, God didn't partner with me in the new age. Like, God pulled me out of the new age and into his life. And so, yeah, that was the moment for me. And
that's so good.
I mean, it was really the Bible.
I do want to discuss, though, I think people think that tonight we're saying none of this stuff is real. It's all a fairy tale. It's all fake. That's not at all what we're saying. This stuff is real. It's really demonic. And there's real movement that happens and real counterfeit signs that happen. You know, it's like people are like, I was sick and then I went to a Reiki healer and I'm not sick anymore. It's like, buddy, the demons that were giving you sickness moved. The Reiki healer was able to speak to those demons and get them to come off of you or move around. And now your faith is in Reiki or in light healing, when in reality, it actually wasn't that healed you. It was just them moving the demons around, because demons would obey somebody that is under that demonic power. You see, like, a lot of this breath work, these conferences, they have these viral videos of people screaming. It's like they're just manifesting their demons.
Right,
they're not really getting free from the demons. They're just manifesting their trauma. And they're like, oh man, I just feel so much better after. What, that you scream for 2 hours straight manifesting demons and nothing came out of you? And people, I left sore and I was tired. Yeah, people, because you're manifesting a demon for 2 hours, but you weren't getting actual freedom.
Yeah.
But this stuff does, like you just said, it is real. It really, the spiritual realm is no joke. It is real. And I do want to discuss when you were doing this, the chakra stuff, and maybe explain what chakras are. Like, we're 5 years old, but even the chakras, you were talking about in one of your teachings that I was kind of browsing through, sensations of tingling, sensations of pressure in your body, sensations of fire. And you've talked about this on your other teachings that I've seen, where you're like, I really felt stuff. I really experienced a serpent in my spine. It wasn't like we were making it up. So explain, Angela, if this stuff is demonic and quote unquote not really doing what it's saying it's doing, why are people experiencing these sensations and these feelings and these emotions? And for example, you're hearing your grandma's voice. It's like, how? Explain some of these manifestations for people that maybe don't understand.
Well, because the Bible makes it super plain that the Antichrist spirit will be able to do signs and wonders. So it's not that, like, the devil is void of power. It's that he's void of righteous and holy and legal power. So it's, you know, I say all the time, counterfeit. Like, that's like my trademark slogan when I describe New Age. But that's what it is. It's all counterfeit power. It's illegal signs, miracles, wonders accessed unrighteously. It always reminds me of John 10, where Jesus is talking about how if anyone goes in through another way other than the door, they are a thief or a robber. And so that's what the devil is doing. And that's actually what you're doing in the spirit, which is what allows the demons access to you at all. And actually, Isaiah, when you're talking about, like, these manifestations, I do think sometimes, like, it's just kind of the demon, like, manipulating you and, like, it doesn't actually go anywhere. But other times, I think it's a case of like Matthew 12, because Jesus says in that scripture, when the demon goes out, right? So it this isn't cast out. When the demon goes out, it wanders and it searches, and then ultimately it comes back home to its house, which is you, at its own will, like when it decides it wants to come back, and it sends seven more worse than, or brings seven more evil spirits worse than before. So what I, like in retrospect, like when I look back on the patterns that I was moving through and the patterns of basically every occultist and New Ager I've ever known, it's always the same thing where you experience true like relief, even like sensations of euphoria, which is very different from peace, by the way, through the practices, through the Kundalini yoga, through the Reiki. And it's like, wow, I'm free. But then like, oh, well, yeah, the demon might have just gone out on its own accord because it has the right to, because you're flirting with its very practice. Like if you're engaging in an antichrist spirit modality through witchcraft, through sin, then that demon has the liberty to go out and come back as it pleases. And because you've come into agreement with even more sin and furthered yourself down the rabbit trail of divination of the occult, now it's bringing seven worse than before and making you worse. Why? Because then the pattern repeats, because it's like, oh, well, now I need more Reiki. Oh, now I guess maybe like my root chakra's fine, but I guess now it's like, oh, my heart chakra's blocked, so I got to do another sound bowl meditation or listen to more binaural beats. Like, you just do all these things over and over and over because you're gathering more demons, like, but you're looking for the peace that only the Holy Spirit can actually bring you and like restore within you and heal within you, like long term, like true fruit that bears like everlasting fruit. So yeah, it absolutely, like all this stuff works. And I agree with you. Sometimes people are like, are you saying like this isn't phony? Like, no, I 100% try and empathize with all these like arbitrary spiritualists because I know how it feels. I was there. But you can be super sincere and super sincerely deceived at the same time. And I'm telling you, like, that's what it is. So as far as like what the chakra system is, it's kind of like, it's hard to like explain in layman's terms, I feel like. But basically the idea is, and if you ever like Google the chakra system, a picture will come up, which gives a really easy visual to what I'm saying. But it's basically like you have, the belief is that you like, you have an energetic highway, basically like energetic wheels all throughout your body from the root, from your base all the way up to the crown of your head. And there's seven of them, and they all store their own particular like energy, their own frequency, like the root chakra. It's said that that's all about like, you know, grounding, survival kind of thing. And then the sacral chakra is kind of like your womb area if you're a woman, your reproductive parts. And it's like, that's emotions, that's your sexuality, that's your creativity. And then the solar plexus is like where you get that gut feeling, like where the Holy Spirit will sucker punch you sometimes. And that's all, that's believed to be like your personal power, your self-esteem, your ego. The heart, obviously heart, it's like love, compassion, forgiveness, throat, communication, truth, and expression. Your third eye is supposed to be intuition and spiritual vision and insight. And then the crown is like your spiritual enlightenment and your divine unity to God consciousness or whatever. And the whole premise, again, of the chakra system is to make sure that they're all like functioning optimally so that the Kundalini spirit that's in the root can like slither all the way up demonic through the wheel, and like it's so demonic, and out the crown. And then that's like when you supposedly achieve like peak nirvana, peak enlightenment. And a lot of these spiritualists will tell you like, oh, the lost years of Jesus, that's what he was doing. He was off awakening the Kundalini spirit. It's that's like crazy. So gross. Yeah.
So basically these chakras are a counterfeit of what God has given us, what God has done. What do you think that these chakras that people teach and talk about awakening are counterfeiting? What would you say, like in the Bible, in the kingdom of God? We know the devil counterfeits. Yeah. If you look at tongues, there's a counterfeit tongues. If you look at miracles, there's counterfeit miracles. There's counterfeit deliverances. There's counterfeit of pretty much everything God does. Because the devil has no creative power, the devil has to counterfeit. He has to pervert. It's literally what perversion is. It's the wrong version of something. So this is a perversion of the word of God. This is a perversion of our true spirit, man. that everything you see the devil doing, he's counterfeiting something God is doing. God is a creator. God is the inventor. The devil makes a substitute, his own version, his own demonic version in reality. So what would you say is the chakras and the chakra system? What would these be counterfeiting that God has created?
Yeah. So it actually comes with a little bit of a backstory that I think is relevant because, and you know this about me, like when I came out of New Age, I was like super traumatized. I had basically PTSD from just spirituality and like the supernatural in general, and praise God for his grace and for baptism and for deliverance that he was able to pull off more blinders that I didn't even know I had on and like woke me up from that. But my point in sharing is that there's like a mistake that we make kind of twofold as the body of Christ, where we do have this like kind of wall up or guard up, whether or not it's intentional, of all things spiritual, all things supernatural. And we're just like, write everything off as demonic. And like I told you at the beginning, when I shared a bit of my testimony, I never ever thought in 10,000 years, if I was looking for any spiritual life, I would find it in the walls of a church, that I would find it in the name of Jesus. And why is that? Because it's kind of the fault of the church, because there's no demonstration of what rightfully belongs to the kingdom. It's spirituality. The supernatural belongs to the born again. It does not belong to the occult. But we have done such a disservice by just handing it over to the devil. Like, we give way too much credit to the devil, which is ironic because that's a lot of the time the criticism you and I get, right? You give way too much credit to the devil, but the cessationists of the church give way too much credit to the devil because they only ever can focus on what the devil is doing, and they never talk about what God is doing. And matter of fact, the things that God is doing, they give the devil credit for that as well.
Right.
So the devil has just done this really fantastic job of presenting this full total package of like, you want to experience a supernatural life, you can just come to me. And again, it's all, he doesn't have a pitchfork in his hand when he does that. He just has that light and love mantra, and that's all it takes. And so my point in sharing that is I was really afraid of even like the word vibration or frequency because of my past. And I thought anything that had to do with vibrations or energy or frequencies, like I was like, all of that stuff belongs to the devil. When the truth is, like, praise God just for the sanctification and the intimacy and the maturity that he's just been developing within me as I know him deeper, all that fear is like gone. Like, I'm not afraid of things that actually belong to God. Like, God created frequency, God created vibration. Like, we even see Psalm 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Like, that is a, like, that's a vibration, like, that is a sound. Okay, so like frequencies and sound belong to God. So when you go back to the chakra system, because that's what it's all about, is like manipulating the energies and the frequency and tuning to the frequencies of your body, right? A lot of people would be really quick in the body of Christ to write that off and say, this is all a bunch of nonsense, but it's not. Again, we can't just give all the credit to the devil. We actually have to look and recognize that the devil can only produce the counterfeit at all because there isn't authentic. Like, he can't create anything. He can only counterfeit. He can't produce anything. He can only pervert what God has already done. So he has to work within the framework that God has already laid out. And I'm not saying chakras are real. That's not what I'm saying at all, because they're not. But I am saying that these like gates of our body, just kind of for lack of a better term, they're real. Like, these physical regions that contain, you know, like our hearts, they have, this is scientifically true, right? That our cells in the body, like, they emit a measurable frequency. Our heart has an electromagnetic field. Yeah. Like, that's not New Age. That's real. Like, our brain pulses with waves, right? And so the enemy takes that foundation of what is true, of what is God's design biologically for us, and then he just twists it like he does everything else. He twists it and then perverts it into this system of works-based, like everything in the occult, works-based spirituality through witchcraft, which is manipulation, by the way. All manipulation is witchcraft. And he says, oh, well, you can balance this energy. Oh, you can unlock this vibration. You can meditate your way into wholeness. You can align to the frequency. You can like tune up to your higher self, blah, 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 all about you, circumventing the cross, circumventing the blood, like circumventing repentance, circumventing forgiveness, all these things. And it becomes this like performance-based attempt to access peace, but never through the Prince of Peace. So again, like the deception, it's more than just like our body parts. Like it's more than just like our heart and our mind. It's not just hijacking the physical location. It's actually hijacking the function, because these parts of our body, they're not just biblically significant. Like they're literally vibrationally responsive. Again, they carry electromagnetic activity. They carry very real nerve clusters. They carry very real hormonal glands and sensory processing and all of these things. So they are scientifically and spiritually charged, which is why Satan will just overlay this chakra system on top of it. Like he's basically building this counterfeit template on top of a real God-given blueprint, and then manipulating the frequency through unrighteous power. Again, John 10, like going through the window, through witchcraft, through these false rituals in order to gain influence over those gates of your body. Like through the sound bowls, through chanting, through Reiki, through yoga, all that jazz. And so that is an illegal use of, we'll just call it like spiritual architecture that God created, because God was very specific and intentional with the way that he structured our bodies, even like down to like the triune layout of spirit, soul, and the physical flesh, right? And so again, this only works, like we see real quote power and you know, result from people engaging in chakra work and like unblocking the chakras and feeling like the real tingles and the real sensations and the real release, which again, Matthew 12, the demon will go out and come back. It works because it's built on something that God actually made. And again, it's not to say we have chakras. Isaiah and Angela are not making the claim that Christians have chakras. It's just to say that like we do have very real like vibrational reactions in our body. We have very real like body gates, and we see it even like Proverbs 4:23. I have some scripture here. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It's not just an organ, like it's the center of will. Luke 11:34, the eye is the lamp of the body. Your eyes are spiritual gates, because what we look at doesn't just come in visually, it comes in viscerally. Mm. Romans 10:17 talks about faith comes by hearing. Why? Because our ears are gates. The word of God is what builds our faith through what we hear. So the enemy can attack us the same way. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, because it's not only a gate for expression, it's a gate for agreement, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The mind is a gate. Our thoughts are battleground. So none of this stuff, like, these aren't metaphors that we're dealing with. Like, they're basically portals of access. And the access will depend entirely on what we do and who we are yielded to. So when you're working through the chakra system, through Hinduism, through the Antichrist spirit, through the Kundalini spirit, through the spirit of divination, through sin, through witchcraft, through idolatry, you are giving your body access to actual demons. Like, and when we go through these one by one, if you want to do that, you find like, because you do deliverance too. And what I have found over the past year, because God gave me, I just did a whole video about the chakra system on my own channel. God gave me this like kind of revelation about the chakras over a year ago, but I have walked through so much deliverance since then that I'm glad I didn't just like come out swinging about it then, because now I can see what I'm speaking to, like these biblical revelations that's laid out in scripture. Mm. You can see it in deliverance, because like the same things that like the chakra system claims to have dominion of, it's like the correlating demons, like that's where they tend to manifest and where they tend to hide in the body. Like it's really interesting, because the whole thing with the chakra system is all about opening and opening and opening, and God's all about sealing and armoring up and protecting, right? So it's only credited. The chakra system is only credited to the truth God instated, right? Because again, God created us with this intentional sacred architecture, spirit, soul, and body. And we're giving these demons access to our soul when we participate in this system.
And I like that use the word open you up. I mean, if you think about the New Age movement, if those of you in the New Age, there's a lot of open yourself up. What am I opening myself up to? Isn't that the devil that wants an open door, that's looking for an open door? The Bible says sin knocks at the door, crouches at the door, waiting for you to open the door. Proverbs talks about a city without gates is basically destruction and ruin. Like the door, the Bible over and over again speaks about doorways and gateways. And the devil, the New Age, its goal is to get you to open up the door, is to get you to open up the gate. And when you open yourself up, you're opening yourself up to unclean spirits that are masquerading as angels of light. You're being demonized. I'm telling you right now, if you are in the New Age movement or you're dabbling, I would say there's a very high chance, like when I say high, I'm talking close to 100%, that you are demonized as I speak right now, that you have a demon living on the inside of you, the Matthew 12, that calls you its home. Literally, demons call you their home because you've, quote unquote, opened yourself up. And well, as we talked about yoga, that's, we keep saying that because it's such a popular, common one for Christians, because obviously a lot of you are Christians in the chat. That's an open door, literally an open door to demonic infestation. You're allowing these spirits to come in. The same thing we're talking about, you getting involved in chakra. You're opening yourself up. Is there a world, Angela, where somebody can be a Christian and still, well, I'm just a Christian that opens their third eye and I just want more? And to me, Angela, when I hear guys talk, Christian guys teaching about the New Age and opening their third eye and trying to teach believers in prophetic classes how to open their third eye, I just feel like, are you out of content? Like, are you bored that you're just making up these opening? Like, in my mind, why, Angela, as Christians, are we going to the New Age to try to teach things and try to get people to open up when we have the scripture? Are chakras in scripture? No. So then why would I, as a Christian, prophetic teacher, preacher, pastor, start trying to teach Christians how to open up their third eye? It's completely demonic. These chakras are demonic. There's no room for the believer to be trying to open up their chakras, to be trying to enlighten their chakras. If anything, you should be closing yourself up to all these demonic practices. And that's what we're really trying to shout tonight. I probably shout louder, but that's what we're really passionate about, is getting you guys to walk away from the Christian yoga. And that's such an oxymoron. I mean, it felt funny even saying it. Walk away from the demonic practices of opening your third eye and getting involved in chakras and getting involved in Reiki and getting involved in light work. I have a family member, not on my side of the family, but another side of the family, that is a Christian and also involved in Reiki, also thinks that she's a Reiki healer. And I'm like, no, this can't be this way. You have to choose a side. You have to walk away. There's so many people that are trying to get in mixture. They're trying to mix, and you can't mix, guys. We cannot get in mixture. Yeah. We're waving the flag tonight saying, get out of these practices. These are demonic. Get away from these. These are counterfeits. These are the devil's substitutes. And the devil's trying to basically get you to open yourself up. Who are you opening yourself up to? And that's why, to me, Angela, I do not drink. I do not believe any Christian should drink. I believe that when you're getting involved in alcohol, you're opening yourself up to things. I mean, the world calls alcohol spirits. I mean, literally, if you go to a bar, you can order a spirit. It's like, why? If you get pulled over, the police officer will say, "What? You're under the influence." You're literally under the influence. The world says that. And so you're opening yourself up to the influence of something else in your life. And I just don't want to put myself in that position where I'm under the influence. I'm opening yourself up. And something as simple as alcohol does that to you in a real spiritual way. There's an overtaking of your body, of your mind, of your decision-making when you partake. And in the same way, so are these practices. So are these practices we're talking about tonight. You're opening yourself up to something. And we're telling you guys right now, you're putting yourself in great spiritual danger. In great spiritual danger when you start opening yourself up to these things. You were talking about a list. What was that list you were talking about that you wanted to go through?
Oh, yeah. Where is it? So I was going to make the point that, like, the reason I felt like I had to, like, go through all of that, like, so in depth is because, kind of like to hammer in on what you were saying earlier, like, this stuff works. Like, there is real power. It's just not godly power. It is demonic power, and it is really allowing these demonic spirits to have influence over you. And like you said, call you a home. And so I wanted to go through, like, all that stuff about like the vibrational points of our body, just to emphasize the truth that like it really can work because of that, like because of what God created. Okay, you can manipulate that energy. You shouldn't, we're not supposed to, but you can. And through that divination, that's like what allows like the spirit access to come in. And when you like break down the scripture on like the armor of God, even it's like the same spots of your body that wow. like the devil has overlaid the chakra system. And like when you it's just crazy, right? The helmet of salvation, it's like over the crown and the third eye, and this is like the highest point of demonic infiltration in the chakra system. Like I said, that's like where the Kundalini spirit supposedly like gives you enlightenment. And it's all about the helmet of salvation in the word, and just about protecting your mind. Everything is about your mind, because that's where the battle always truly begins, right? The breastplate of righteousness over your heart and your throat. Why? Because that's where the enemy will wound you. That's where he will give you rejection and bitterness and grief and your voice, right? And like Leviathan and just and pride, like all rooted in here. So this like guards your emotional center from the unrighteousness of the devil. And then the belt of truth. That's like the core solar plexus area. That's what the chakra system calls that area. And that's where, again, that's like your discernment, your gut feelings, but that's hijacked through the chakra system by false guidance. So the belt of truth, we're supposed to put that on, not open up a chakra point. We're supposed to put on the belt of truth to keep us anchored to the unchanging truth of God's word. The shoes of peace, that's the foundation. Now, actually, it's not obviously like your root, but when you see the pictures of the chakra like system, and when you see people meditating, the way they tuck their feet up under themselves, like that's at the root of you. So the same thing can be true, that it protects your grounding, your direction, your stability. So they say with the chakras, and it's all about rooting into the earth and grounding in your connection. But the shoes of the gospel of peace, which we're actually supposed to root in, is grounded in the gospel. And you're supposed to establish your footing on the unshakable rock of Christ. And then obviously shield of faith, full body, blocks all demonic influence. And then the sword of the spirit, which is the offense that just doesn't only protect, but it actually pierces. Okay, so now before I move on, let me just say this about the armor. Again, it's like the same areas that the enemy wants to invade by accessing you illegally, by going in through the window, by doing witchcraft, by engaging in sin, by adhering to all these antichrist religions and practices. On the contrary, God has actually equipped us as his children to defend those same areas. So the armor is not a metaphor, just like these parts of our bodies, like they're not metaphors, right? The armor is a spiritual strategy. The chakra system is a spiritual strategy. It's spiritual artillery, either for the kingdom of dark or the kingdom of light. So the armor of God is mapped over our real body, like the spiritual architecture, like I said three times, God has designed very intentionally, because God made us this way. He made us as a vessel, and these vessels have to be sealed. They have to be covered. They have to be protected. And we're obviously talking about the soul, right? Because it's not, obviously, it's like you and I aren't sitting here on camera, like wearing actual like physical armor, but we have spiritual armor on because it protects the spirit body. It protects the soul. Same thing with the chakra system. It invades the realm of your soul in the same way, just, you know, obviously the demonic counterfeit aspect. But again, the point is, like, we don't need to be unblocking our chakras. Like, we need to be armoring up. And the counterfeit system will tell you to release the energy, right? And then God tells you, no, like, you actually have to resist the enemy. So the reason why he's targeting these specific areas is because they're the same territories God instructs us to guard as with spiritual weapons. Like, to me, it's super simple. And again, it's like these areas in the body where we do see demons tend to frequent when conducting deliverance, because the enemy hijacks systems and gains legal rights this way. And that's ultimately how the Kundalini spirit works too. So I do have this list. So with the root, right, it's all about in the chakra system, like fear and instability. So they tell you, see, this is how the demon gets in. So they tell you, oh, well, you just meditate. Oh, just do these grounding rituals. Oh, just do yoga. Just do Reiki. But what are you doing when you're doing that? You're sinning. You're participating in witchcraft. You're accessing the spirit realm illegally. So now the things that you're experiencing, it's going to come back sevenfold through an actual spirit of fear, a spirit of death, a spirit of trauma. With the sacral chakra, oh, sexuality and emotions and creativity, they tell you, oh, the do tantric rituals, like pleasure yourself, do womb healing, do sensual expression and all this stuff. Well, okay, well, great. Now you have a Jezebel spirit. Now you have a spirit of confusion. Now you have a spirit of perversion. Now you have a spirit of lust. Solar plexus stuff, all about your ego and your self-esteem. And they're like, well, great. Do fire meditations. Do these power affirmations. Do shadow work. Do moon rituals. Do burning ceremonies. Okay, well, now there's a spirit of witchcraft. Now you have a spirit of rebellion. Now you have a spirit of control. Now you have a spirit of pride. Heart chakra, they say love, compassion, healing. And what you need to do for it is heart opening meditations. You need to do crystal healing. You need to listen to love frequency music. Oh, but what you're actually doing is like, you're not really healing. You're just letting demons in. So you still have unforgiveness there that needs to be dealt with. You're making your soul wounds worse. Now you have probably have like a spirit of rejection. Like it just goes on. Throat chakra. There's three more. Communication, truth, expression. They say, well, then you need to do chanting. You need to get a light language, which is demonic tongues. Oh, you need to do mantra work. Oh, you need to listen to sound healing. You need to do the sound baths. You need to do the mirror rituals. No, now you have a Leviathan spirit now, or a mute spirit, or like word curses that have been spoken over you by some shaman or even by yourself. The third eye, ironically, is supposed to be like spiritual vision. So they're like, okay, do third eye openers, increase your psychic development, your lucid dreaming, astral projection, guided visualizations. No, spirits of divination, familiar spirits. Now you have monitoring spirits. Now you're like, now you have like all these projection portals open and clairvoyance and like just demons everywhere. Crown, all about spirituality and enlightenment and God consciousness. Move through transcendental meditation then. Do psychedelics. Make sure you're doing Reiki. But no, that's an Antichrist spirit. That's the religious spirit. That's a spirit of mind control. That's a Kundalini spirit. Like, none of this stuff is random. Again, demonic template laid over God's very real architecture. So each chakra targets like the legitimate body gates that God designed to literally be consecrated, to be protected, and to be filled by his spirit, not opened and activated by mystical rituals and energetic divination. Like, none of this is healing. Even though it feels like it's healing you in the moment, you know it's not. If you're engaged with this stuff, you know it's not long-term, because you always need to go back for even more of it over and over and over again. It's not healing. You're literally giving demons access to your body and to your soul, and you're building just like a highway for witchcraft to rule and reign over you. But the truth is, this is why God does not leave us vulnerable. This is why he is so adamant about the armor of God. This is why he's so adamant about being vigilant and about being sober-minded to the ways of the enemy and not opening any doors to sin and just completely rejecting all witchcraft, he calls works of the flesh, and all divination, because you'll literally be outside the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God isn't a matter of heaven or hell. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is a matter of power. So you're never going to access the true power of God, the kingdom of God, when you're engaged in the works of the flesh through witchcraft. You're only ever going to access the Antichrist spirit that way. You're only going to access the demonic, illegal system that way. And so whatever you're looking for within that framework, you're never going to actually find, because you're outside the gates of the kingdom of God, which is where it can only be found, because that's true healing, that's true power, that's true love, that's true fruit, that's true peace. Like, the list goes on. I forget what the question was. Did that answer it?
No, yeah, that's so good. And like, I think it goes back to what you said in the beginning of the interview, was that in so many words, I'm going to rephrase it, the church has done a poor job at exposing people to the power of God. And of course, I'm rephrasing what you said, but this is what you were saying. Yeah. So the world runs to the new age to try to find spiritual power. Shame on us as pastors and leaders and Christians for not allowing people to approach the power of God, to experience the power of God, to be in the presence of the power of God. And so what happens now when you have a church, Angela, that doesn't speak in tongues, doesn't pray for the sick, doesn't cast out demons, doesn't allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The Bible calls them spiritual abilities. The abilities, the Bible actually says they're supernatural abilities that the Spirit of God gives. When you don't allow prophecy, when you forbid speaking in tongues, when you forbid casting out demons, when you forbid laying hands on the sick, When you remove the supernatural element from the body of Christ, which is something that Christ came and was walking in power, was anointed by the Holy Spirit to walk in power. When you remove that and all you're left with is stale religion, what happens to our kids? They become teenagers. They were raised in church, Angela. I don't know why. My daughter was raised in church. Now she's a teenager. She wants to get involved in the new age. Well, how about because the church you raised her in was more like a funeral home and a graveyard? There was no power. There was no anointing. There was no presence of God. She never saw a miracle. She never saw deliverance. She never saw anything in the realm of the supernatural. So what happens? The void in your daughter that's now a teenager, that she's longing for the supernatural, because we all are, because we serve a supernatural God, because we worship God in spirit. You don't think we're spiritual or God's spirit. People are like, Isaiah, you're too spiritual. What? That's where God is. We worship God in spirit and God is spirit and we worship in the spirit. So we are spiritual. Everything is spiritual when you're a Christian. You're literally born again. Where am I born again into? The spiritual realm. It's not like when you get saved, Angela, you become a baby and you're in the physical realm like Goo Goo Gaga. Now you have to be in a, you know, an infant carrier now that you're a Christian. In the spirit realm, you're a baby. Now, Nicodemus thought it was physical. He's like, wait, how could I go in my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus is like, Nick, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritually. You're born again in the spirit realm. You were dead spiritually. Now you're alive. The Christian world, the Christian faith is all about the spiritual realm. We are, I would say most churches are unspiritual, are not talking about the spiritual. The Bible says, focus your eyes on that which is in the spirit, because that which is in the spirit is number one, eternal. And number two, it's unseen and never fading away. It's completely, I'm sorry, it's more real than that which you see. So Corinthians talks about focusing on the unseen realm. Now, what the devil's done is, what you've been saying, is perverted that, removed it from the church, taken the spiritual out of the church, lied to us, and said deliverance isn't for today, miracles aren't for today, given us that demonic cessationist doctrine in a lot of churches, and then put that supernatural in the new age and says, come over here to fill your void. Come to Reiki to fill your void. Come to new age to fill your void. Oh, you want to experience power? Come over to the new age. Oh, you want to experience healing? Come over to the new age. And then people do, and they're like, wow, Angela, for the first time in my life, I feel something. Man, I've been wanting to feel tingles. I've been wanting to feel heat. I've been wanting to experience, when all the while, if we were truly the church that Jesus called us to be, people would experience that in church. People would experience power. Yep. Last Wednesday at our prayer meeting, we were praying for the sick, laying hands on everybody in the room that was sick. And my wife prayed for a lady next to her that had a spinal cord injury. The lady came back on Sunday looking frantically for my wife. And the lady's actually a pastor of another church out in our area, said that she was completely healed in that prayer meeting. The power of God. People are experiencing the power of God, the healing power of God. One second they had cancer, the next second they were healed. How? Because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in the supernatural realm. And it's an amazing thing. Yeah. I'll share this. Think about how crazy this is, okay? I was in service. A lady was sitting in front of me, and the lady at the end of service looked at me and looked like she saw a ghost. Now, I haven't been at this specific prayer meeting on this specific night in years at our church. And we had gone. We felt like the Lord was like, go. We had no plans at night. We're like, let's just drive. Let's go. We went to prayer. I sat 6 or 7 rows back because I couldn't find a seat, even though it was 30 minutes early. Our church gets so packed. I sat 6 or 7 rows back. And this lady tells me this. Think about how spiritual this is and crazy this is. After service, she said, Isaiah, and I'm going to butcher a little bit of this, but I'll give you the gist of it. A few weeks ago, she said, I had a dream. And in my dream, now this lady, Angela, is sitting directly in front of me. She said, in my dream, you were in the backseat of my car sitting directly behind me and I was driving and you were telling me to turn the music down. She's like, then I met a lady in a dream that I had, and a lady in my dream told me, have you ever heard of a church called Life Song? And she was like, I've never been, but I know this guy. This is all in her dream, by the way. She's like, I know this guy, Isaiah Saldivar, goes there. And the lady in her dream said, I know Isaiah Saldivar. He goes to Life Song. You should go to Life Song. So she, in her dream, gets invited to our church, is in her dream. I'm sitting behind her, and she drives an hour away. She's never been to our church. She drives an hour away, shows up to service, and is sitting there. And I randomly sit behind her. She got up to, I guess, go to the altar of worship. She comes back to her chair and I'm sitting directly behind her, which had just happened a few weeks ago in her dream, which she got invited, lives an hour away. Guys, this is the supernatural. How could you make that up?
Yeah.
How could you? Now yeah. I know why she was acting frantic. Like, I can't believe you're sitting behind me. I had a dream you were sitting behind me. And this lady in my dream invited me to your church. But this is what happens when you have a church that's open to the supernatural. When you have people that are open to the Lord. And I'm telling you guys right now, if you start seeking the Lord and you start getting involved with the Holy Spirit and you start getting in prayer and you start encountering the Spirit and you start doing deliverance, laying hands on the sick, prophesying, speaking in tongues, doing all this stuff, you'll be like, the new age is lame. Why would I want this? This is lame. The tingling, mm-hmm. I can have the presence of God, and that's what we have access to. Now, sadly, and I want to just segue into the Kundalini spirit, sadly, when this stuff happens where people are getting touched by God, the move of God's happening, what does the religious group say, Angela? What does a religious crowd, which, by the way, they're still Pharisees today and Sadducees. They're around in Jesus' day. Now they just call themselves cessationists. In the Bible, they were called Pharisees. But they now say, oh, that's demonic, brother. Casting out demons is demonic. Doing miracles is demonic. And I'm like, look at the Bible. The Pharisees accused Jesus of being demonic when he cast out demons. How ironic is that? Now you are telling me what I'm doing is demonic. And then what they say, Angela, is, oh, that's Kundalini spirit. Miracles are Kundalini and tongues is Kundalini, all that. So let's talk about that. The Kundalini, where does that play into all of this? Where does that play into your testimony, the Kundalini awakening? And what do you think about, and I'm just asking your honest opinion on, what do you think about when people say, what we do, me and you, praying for people and seeing the sick healed and seeing miracles. What do you think about when people say that we're Kundalini, we're doing the Kundalini spirit and all that? Because nobody even knew about the Kundalini spirit until these, you know, heresy hunter guys started trying to connect the Kundalini and Hinduism into the move of God because they don't understand it. Give us some of your thoughts on the Kundalini.
Yeah. Well, again, like, the devil doesn't have to work very hard when you're doing all his bidding for him. So, like, when you're just giving all this credit to the devil and like, say less. But I want to just kind of touch on a few points you just said. First, when you're like, all this stuff in the new age doesn't, I always say the new age practices and the experiences that I had do not hold a candle to the fire of God.
Wow.
And a lot of people like interpret that kind of like attitude that I have as like, oh, like you're still chasing the emotional highs and you just went from one deception to another. Like you can never let go of the spiritualism. And basically this happens in the church, by the way, like new agers, like don't care when you say stuff like that. It's the church that says stuff like that to me. Oh, you just went from one deception. You just went spiritual high. It's like we shame people for desiring a spiritual experience.
Wow.
And it's like you said, God is spirit, and he desires to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Now, I do want to say there's like a caveat, because I think it is important to make the distinction that we don't follow Jesus to have like miracles happen. Like we don't follow Jesus for what we can gain, like a spiritual high from it. Jesus even says like, woe to you, those that seek a sign, but he doesn't contradict himself. And the thing is, he also says, although he says like, woe to you that seek a sign, which is all that I was doing in New Age, just chasing spiritual highs for real. He also says that signs and wonders will follow you if you believe. So it's not that we're following after manifestations. We're not following after like another like encounter with God. Like we're not going to the altar just like to feel the warmth or whatever. Like, we're following Jesus. I didn't renounce my entire life and like just, I didn't do what I did like and make this decision to follow Christ because I wanted a spiritual high. I did it because I recognized and he gave me eyes to see that he is genuinely Lord, that I was literally like depraved and I was a sinner and I was so far from him despite thinking that I was in proximity with him through all the new ageism that I was in. Like I recognized that what he did on the cross for me was true. And it was because of me, like I put him on the cross.
Wow.
And I needed him to die on my behalf because it was only through his blood that I could be reconciled to my creator, reconciled to what? Everything, relationship and communion, but it and spirituality. Like I said, it's spirituality belongs to the born again because spirituality and the supernatural actually belongs to God. It belongs to him. It does not belong to the devil. So it's not bad for anyone that might be watching this that feels like shamed even by their own church or maybe by a mom or a dad or another believer. Like it's not bad to desire like spirituality, because you're actually created that way. We're talking all about the design and the spiritual architecture, like the very DNA makeup of us, like within our very spirit, within our very soul is this yearning to be reconciled to God in every facet of the word, including in spirit. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, with the New Age stuff, like the devil running the same scheme that he's run since the Garden of Eden, saying you can be like God. And it's ironic because he was promising Eve something that in a way she already had, because she was already made in the image and likeness of God, and she was already in communion with God, and she already had dominion, like she already, you know, and the devil like offers that to you just by circumventing God instead, like not actually being in true relationship with him. So Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, right? But going back to what you were saying about the Kundalini spirit particularly, because this is the accusation, right? Like, oh, when you're doing deliverance and when whatever, you're having an experience with a gift of the Holy Spirit, it's just the Kundalini. So this is what I just Googled it, because it's so funny. Like, you just Google something in 2 seconds. In Hinduism, Kundalini is a spiritual force or energy believed to reside at the base of the spine, coiled like a serpent. And when awakened, this energy ascends through the body's chakras, leading to heightened awareness, spiritual enlightenment, and even mystical experiences. So I'm going to like go through what the Kundalini spirit is, and then I'll go back to the accusation, because there is a distinction. So again, it's like the serpent spirit. It's the entire premise of chakra work. It's the entire premise of yoga. And this goes back to like when people say, oh, I'm just doing yoga like for the physical benefit. You cannot divorce what yoga is from what, you know, whatever you decide it to be in the moment. It is a spiritual practice with very mild physical benefit. And when I say very mild, because even like since the last time you and I talked about this, even the research I've done long-term on the effects of yoga, it actually is really bad for your body. Like, it's really bad for your joints. Like, we're not supposed to contort that way, like on a consistent basis. It's not good for you. So it is whatever physical benefit you want to make a case for, it's very minimal and probably not beneficial long-term. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Point is, when you do yoga, the point of yoga, the practice of yoga, is to channel these Hindu deities. It's to give reverence to these Hindu deities. And it is to awaken the Kundalini spirit, because the practice of yoga is 100% coupled with the quote chakra system. And you're supposed to, like, you know, even when I used to tailor my yoga classes, I would do it in such a way that like each class was geared toward like a specific chakra. And again, I would relate it to the moon, and it would like go through this whole flow until like by the end of it, you would like awaken the Kundalini. Like, that is the point of yoga. Whether or not that's your point, that is the spiritual, that is the spiritual curation of yoga. Like, I don't know who we think we are as human beings that we can just make up spiritual law and like decide what it means. I mean, even the Bible says like you can't take communion in an unworthy manner. Why? Because there's a spiritual principle behind that. There's a spiritual law that you, in whatever manner you're approaching it, do not get to decide and overlay like your own intention over that. There's spiritual laws that we interact with. We do not get to define them. God has defined them. And so when you're interacting with yoga in the context of yoga, because you can't do yoga by accident, it is 100% operating within this Kundalini spirit, like 100%. So there's that. It's a counterfeit Holy Spirit is what it actually is. So I wrote a little like comparison thing. False awakening versus true rebirth. False awakening, obviously Kundalini. Self-deification versus glorifying Jesus. Kundalini comes in through occult practices versus the Holy Spirit, which is a gift of grace. It's funny because even like the Greek language for gift as it relates to the spiritual gifts and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of salvation, it's actually all the same word. I think it's like charismata, right? So when people call us like charismatics, I'm like, well, if that means the gift of the grace of God, fine. So the Kundalini spirit, it rises from below, like it ascends from the depths, from the root up, from hell. from the pit, literally, where we send demons. And then the Holy Spirit descends upon you. The Kundalini is all about emotional highs. The Holy Spirit is lasting transformation. Kundalini is workspace striving, whereas the Holy Spirit is faith-based receiving. And then, of course, like we talked about this whole time for the past hour and a half, Kundalini is opening gates, and the Holy Spirit is sealing believers. So I could go through this whole thing. I don't know if I should. I have this whole thing about how with Isaiah 11:2, like he goes through the kind of like the sevenfold Spirit of God relating to the Holy Spirit. I think, yeah, go watch that on my full video, because what, we're already like an hour and a half in almost. With the Kundalini Spirit, so when people are telling you that it's the same thing as what you see in Deliverance, in a way, they're not incorrect, because what we just talked about this whole time, when you go through that breakdown of like, oh, this quote chakra point is related to this symptom or this blockage, but actually what it is, it's like a spirit of fear. It's your spirit of witchcraft, right? So what you see in Deliverance, what you see happening is sometimes that very Kundalini spirit, because a lot of people that receive Deliverance were involved in the occult, even unknowingly, yoga, right? Like people that do yoga, they don't think they're practicing witchcraft. Like Lululemon moms do yoga. They don't think that they're channeling like the demonic realm. So people that receive Deliverance tend to have a Kundalini spirit, tend to have a spirit of witchcraft in some way or another, whether that be through yoga, whether that be through Reiki, whether that be through something that they think is just okay and like completely innocuous, like meditation even. And so we see these videos side by side. And Isaiah, this is actually something when I first got saved, and you know, I fell into the cessationist camp for a long time. I saw this guy on YouTube. He made a video, and I won't name drop, but he made a video, and he put a video of like the yoga practice, someone doing yoga and like writhing, you know, in the manifestation of the Kundalini spirit. And then he put it next to a Deliverance ministry. I don't know which one. I don't remember. I watched this video like almost 3 years ago. And it was like the same, you know, like the writhing, like the slither, like the snake sensation, right? Because Kundalini is a serpent. And he's like, see, it's the same thing. Like what these quote ministers are tapping into is not the Holy Spirit. Like they claim it's actually the Kundalini spirit. And again, in a way, they aren't wrong, but it's not because like we as the ministers are tapping into the Kundalini spirit. It's because the Kundalini spirit is manifesting under the weight of glory, like under the authority. Yeah, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, the Kundalini spirit is manifesting. This is not a case of Matthew 12 where it's just like writhing and like you're flirting with it and it's doing what it wants to give you this like temporary feeling of euphoria so that it can go out and then come back with seven worse. This is an instance of it is literally being evicted, and it is writhing, and it is being tormented by the Son of Man, and it has to go in the name of Jesus. And it's leaving. And guess what? It's not coming back. Why? Because when you are a born again, spirit-filled believer, and you actually are putting on the armor of God to protect those points of your body that we talked about that the devil wants you to open up, and when you're covered in the blood, and when you're not giving the devil any foothold or any open door to sin in your life, it's not coming back, because now you've literally consecrated yourself as a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not coming back. So yeah, it manifests that same way, but in a different context, because it's under the weight of glory and it's leaving. So yeah, the Kundalini spirit, when we see this, and because a lot of people are like, well, where do you even get that from? Like, how can you even, you know, Kundalini is a serpent, and we see in Acts 16, right? Like Paul casts that spirit of divination out. It's a python spirit. That's like when you translate the Greek language, it's the python spirit. It's a spirit of, it's a snake. It's a serpent. Like divination is the python spirit. And so all witchcraft opens the door. All witchcraft, all divination, even if you've never done yoga, even if you've never even heard of a chakra, but guess what? You saw a psychic medium, that's divination. That's the spirit of divination. You've opened the door to the Kundalini spirit. We do not have this like serpent at the base of the spine that's a lie from hell. But what you do when you do these practices is you give that serpent access to you. And I've seen it so many times when I, even with my own deliverance, like when I saw you pray deliverance over me, But that was for a separate issue. That was actually the Jezebel spirit that needed to go when you did it. But before that, like my really first major deliverance was come out in Jesus' name. And when he started calling out divination and astrology, like I started like the same things that I used to do in yoga, I started doing. And then that thing left. And this was a year after I had already been born again. So I see it all the time now, and I'm sure you do too. Like when you pray deliverance for people, like that snake thing starts to like manifest. It's the Kundalini spirit. It's a spirit of divination, and it needs to leave. And guess what? It will. So I just think that people that are so fast to accuse, because Satan is the accuser of brethren, they're, like I said, unknowingly doing the devil's bidding for him by giving him all the credit for the move of God. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, there aren't false prophets, false ministers. I'm not saying there aren't people that misuse the name of Jesus, because even Jesus himself says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, you know, oh, didn't we cast out demons in your name? You know, we know this. We know that there are wolves in sheep's clothing, but we can't just like throw the baby out with the bathwater because of some wolves. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I like the point you made.
I mean,
about
it's entirely biblical.
About the manifesting is when a demon manifests. And if you guys don't know what the word manifest means, it means something that's hidden or in darkness, being brought to the light, coming to the surface. Demons usually will manifest based on what spirit they are. So a demon of anger is going to manifest angry, going to be mad, going to be thrashing, punching, trying to hit you. A demon of lust is going to manifest in a lustful way. A snake spirit, a Kundalini spirit, is going to manifest in that serpent that's slithering around. And when people see that, they go, oh, look, you know, this weekend we have mass deliverance conference in Georgia. There's going to be thousands of people there. And people will take videos and say, oh, look, people are slithering and screaming. Yes, because they're being delivered. The demons are manifesting and coming out of the people. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says the demons were screaming as they left their victims. So there was a dramatic manifestation in the Bible. There was one boy that Jesus prayed for that the Bible says he looked as though he was dead. He was lifeless after he went through deliverance. So you do see foaming at the mouth in the Bible with deliverance, these manifestations. But if you see somebody getting delivered of a Kundalini spirit and say, like the guy that you watched, say, oh, look, see, there's Kundalini at their gatherings. Yes, there is getting cast out. People are manifesting Kundalini and the demons leaving them. But what it shows is that guy obviously is ignorant when it comes to deliverance or the spiritual realm. You know, Angela, I hear so many podcasts and people and leaders and pastors talking against deliverance or against the move of God. And immediately all I could think a lot of times is when they say certain things, I just think they're just ignorant. And the word ignorant means they just don't know, because if they did see what we've seen and done what we've done and watched deliverances, they wouldn't be saying the stuff they're saying. They're saying it because they don't have experience in that field. And to me, it's like, I'm not going to go to deliverance advice from someone that's never done deliverance. I'm not going to take input from someone that has no clue about tongues and hear an hour-long teaching about why you shouldn't speak in tongues. Like, you don't even know about tongues. You never even spoke in tongues. So to me, we have to be very careful what sources we're going to try to educate us on matters that they have no clue about. No clue about. People that don't do deliverance shouldn't be teaching on how to do deliverance. I'm just saying, if you've never done a deliverance, you probably aren't the one that you should be telling people, this is what it looks like. Like, how do you know what it looks like if you've never done it? And we have a lot of people saying, this is Kundalini, when in reality, people are getting delivered. I was at one service years ago, many years ago, where people were slithering like a snake. And the pastor's like, look, the Holy Spirit's manifesting and people are slithering like a snake. And I'm like, bro, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a demonic spirit. He thought it was the Holy Ghost making them slither. I knew they were manifesting a demon. And one of the same people he was saying that about, we did deliverance on later that night. And that person had a snake spirit, a Kundalini spirit. And he was like, look, you know, like he saw a ghost. Well, he didn't see a ghost. He saw a demon, because he thought it was the Holy Ghost, but really it was a demon. And there are times where people are, I'm just going to say, I know this is going to offend so many people. Help me, Lord. No, where people are laughing uncontrollably in service. Yep. And they're like, look, the Holy Ghost is manifesting. Now, is there times where that could happen? Yes, but a lot of the time, it's a demonic spirit. I'm just telling you. Because what is the first sign of a demon manifesting? Often when we pray, they start laughing. They start joking. They start making light of the situation. It's a demon. And you might think it's a Holy Ghost, but if you have real discernment, you're going to realize, oh, that's not the Holy Spirit manifesting laughter while the pastor's preaching. Why would the Holy Ghost make you laugh hysterically while the pastor's preaching? Cause a distraction. It's oftentimes a demonic spirit. And When I first got saved in 2011, in the charismatic world for the first few years, I was very popular. I never got down with it. I thought it was weird. I thought a lot of times it was demonic. And turns out, oftentimes it is. We don't see that as much because that, you know, that charismania isn't as popular. But there are a lot of times where these spirits will mock and will laugh and will make a joke out of things. And we have to have discernment and say, that's a demonic spirit. I want to give you a moment here, Angela, if you have any closing thoughts. I know it's almost 7:30 and I know you're way ahead of me in time, but I do want to say a prayer over people before I get you off that are going through this. There's a lot of you in the chat that need deliverance. I did mass deliverance last night. We had 1,700 people on the live that were getting deliverance prayer that were manifesting. We need to do it more. Not only do we need to do more mass prayer deliverance, but we can't do enough of these teachings, Angela. I mean, literally, someone just said that they were watching one of our old videos and realized I was live and we're live together talking about this. But this needs to be exposed because millions of people are being taught this garbage, this new age garbage. And very few Christian creators are discussing this and are exposing this. So we need to talk about this more. We can't talk about this stuff enough because there's millions of demonic influencers that are preaching this message. And there's very few Christian influencers that are pushing against it. So we need to push back against this demonic garbage, against this trash. I believe tonight the Lord wants to deliver you. The Lord wants to set you free. So Angela, any closing thoughts? And if you wanted to say a prayer over those in this deception, and then I'll pray a deliverance prayer when you're done about, you know, just casting these things out of people that are dealing with this and need to be free. And so many people already in the chat as you were talking were like, wow, I renounce this. There's people in the chat saying they practice yoga and they were like, I'm renouncing this. I'm not doing this anymore. There's people in the chat that are in tarot cards that were commenting earlier that I'm throwing all my tarot cards away tonight. So you know what? That one person that said they're no longer doing yoga and the other person that said they're throwing their tarot cards away, to me, Angela, it's worth the hour and a half we've been live. It's worth the time that we put into these, the hours you spend researching and studying to prepare for these. It's worth it because God wants to free people. God wants to deliver people. And there could be another Angela in the chat that is a New Ager with a New Age channel that God's going to save tonight. There could be another Isaiah Saldivar atheist in the chat that God's going to save and God's going to deliver tonight. You could be the next one. You know, we talk about the domino revival. You could be the next domino that falls over that the Lord uses to knock another domino over and to save another person. So it's worth it. It needs to be talked about. Some of you, I understand. You don't want to hear this. You're like, I don't think we should be talking about this. Respectfully, praise the Lord for you. Come back next week. Come back in the next few days. That's fine. But this needs to be spoken. We need to expose darkness and help people come out of this that are in this new age deception. So anyways, any closing thoughts I might have missed, Angela, you want to share? And then if you want to just pray a quick prayer over those that you feel led to that are in this deception, and then I'll close with a deliverance prayer.
Maybe it's just like the nature of my audience and the way my platform was built. But do you really get people that like say not to talk about this stuff?
All the time. Yeah. People like, I don't think we should be discussing this. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. But I mean, respectfully, it's crazy. Respectfully.
Yeah. Respectfully. But it goes back to like this ignorance thing because, you know, The fact that you can sit there and say we shouldn't talk about this, that is like, I'm going to just say like the grace of God on your life, because you did not have to walk through the hell that I walked through. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, the enemy, what he meant for harm, God has used for good. So I will never stop talking about this.
Come on.
And we don't have to be afraid of it, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. And that is the seat from which I declare like this stuff is demonic from, is the power of Christ, the sound mind that he has given me, and the love that completely regenerated my heart and made me a literal brand new person from the inside out. We have to talk about this stuff because the art of war is literally to know thy enemy.
That's
and
good.
We are in a war. Like the Bible is explicit that we are in a spiritual war and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And guess what? I did a lot of work in the kingdom of darkness. Like I was recruited. I was a dark evangelist. I was preaching like the gospel of deception and the gospel of self. And I was leading people down a broad road of destruction straight to hell and calling it self-healing. And the Lord transferred me into the kingdom of light with all of that stuff. You know, I took that all with me to be redeemed, because now I'm very familiar with that art of war because I'm very familiar with the enemy's camp because of everything that I did. And that's why I'm never going to stop talking about this, because this is all about exposure. The point of going through this whole chakra system, it's not because I'm like trying to give glory to some counterfeit demonic agenda. It's because I'm like revealing to you, this is how the enemy works. This is what he's doing. He's overlaying the demonic counterfeit over the authentic. This is what he is doing with the energy and the frequency of your very own body. This is what God says about it instead. This is how you have to seal it up. Oh, if you're experiencing any of those things associated with the chakras being blocked or whatever, it's probably because there's a demonic spirit there actually, and you don't need to do rituals to open up. Like, you don't need to align with energies. You need to abide in Christ. You probably need to be delivered for it. Oh, well, I'm putting the armor of God on, so I don't understand why I'm still dealing with XYZ. Because there's something inside of you, okay? The armor works from the outside in, but deliverance works from the inside out. So there's sometimes we need to be delivered of things that we have come into agreement with,
so good.
Sometimes in our life with Christ, but often in our life before Christ, because again, this is all operating in the realm of the soul. All this deliverance, all this demon stuff, it wasn't in the spirit because your spirit was dead before Jesus. So your dead spirit was animating the soul through sin and depravity and lack of conviction. Jesus gave you his spirit, resurrected your spirit, and now that spirit is what's animating your soul through conviction, through this awareness, through this spiritual vigilance. And now you're like, oh, okay, well, it doesn't make sense then that if I'm abiding in him and I have the fruits of him, then I'm still producing this other stuff. That's because of the residuals that's been left over, and you need it cast out. And so, yeah, I'll just close and say that I don't know if anyone is watching this. If there are people that are still involved with tarot, still involved with Reiki, still involved with yoga, like, my long way around the barn for the last hour and a half is I just want to just declare truthfully that the devil wants every part of you. Like, this is a war for your soul. This is a war for your body. This is a war for your design. This is a war for your mind. This is a war for your worship. This kingdom of darkness versus kingdom of light that we are currently in. Okay, because like I said already, you're not created to align with energies. You're created to abide in Christ. You're not meant to awaken a serpent. You're actually meant to be filled with the Spirit. And Jesus says that when you're filled with his Spirit, guess what? You're going to crush the serpent, not awaken it within you and have it slither up the base of your spine out of your crown. So I know how convincing the counterfeit can be. Even as a Christian, like, you might be chasing these like little temporary highs because you think what the devil can offer you is better than what Jesus can offer you. But I'm telling you, that's not true. Like I said already, the candle of the new age cannot, or the power of the new age cannot hold a candle to the fire of God, because that's all it is at the end of the day, is that it's a counterfeit. It's not enlightenment. It's actually entanglement. And the real gospel is not you are God. It's that God became man and he died and rose again so that you could be filled with his Spirit and live in new life in truth. So if any of this is like really just striking a chord with anybody right now, and you can just close your eyes, and I just pray right now, Lord, that you would give eyes to those who are spiritually blind. Lord, I pray that you would just give ears to those who are spiritually deaf. I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to touch each and every person on the live and on the replay right now under the sound of my voice, Lord. I pray that you would go into their spirit right now, that you would begin to resurrect them in new life, Lord. And if they already know you, Lord, I just pray that you would be so faithful in offering conviction, not shame or condemnation, but a gentle conviction of just truth, that the words that we spoke tonight, the sword of the Spirit would begin to pierce away at the lies and at the deception, God, and that you would reveal what they need to repent of, what they need to renounce. So if you feel like you're still depressed and you're a Christian, if you feel like you're still anxious, if you feel like you know that in the past that you have struggled with witchcraft, you've struggled with divination, even doing things that you thought were seemingly innocuous, like, oh, I just saw a medium one time. Oh, I just did yoga once. I meditated. What's the big deal? Like, let the conviction wash over you. So Holy Spirit, just come right now and let that conviction begin to pour out. Just pour out your Spirit, Lord. And Isaiah, I don't know if you want to do a deliverance like
yeah.
with the
yeah, we
the
just command right now every spirit of Kundalini, every spirit of false this, false Reiki, false chakras, every spirit that came in through the New Age, we command to leave now in Jesus' name. Come out of them, Kundalini. Come out of them, New Age. Every spirit of divination, necromancy, and witchcraft, we bind you in Jesus' name. We command you out of their mouth, into the abyss. Come up out of them right now. We bind you. You have no power. You have no authority. They are not your home. The blood of Jesus is against you right now in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Leave them now in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit, every demonic power has to go. Satan, we cancel your assignment. Every demon that can hear me right now, I cancel your assignment in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus. And we command you out of their body now, out of their body now in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no authority. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. You are bound. You are bound. Leave now. We sever your tie. We break your agreement. I just pray, Lord, conviction over everybody watching this that's involved in the New Age, God. I pray tonight, Lord, they would throw away their New Age practice material. They would throw away the books. They would burn the tarot cards. They would throw away the crystals, God, and the false idols and false gods. We just pray deliverance. We pray breakthrough. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Angela, what an amazing show. I know every time we're live together, we can talk. It's been so good. We need to do this more. I appreciate you being on. Where can people find your stuff? The mods are amazing. By the way, shout out to the mods. They've been linking Instagram and your YouTube this entire time. So shout out to Emily and all the mods that are linking stuff as we're talking. You guys are amazing. It's also in the description. Is there anywhere else that they can follow you or join your ministry, partner with your ministry?
Yep. So Heaven and Healing on YouTube and my Instagram, Angela Marie Scafidi, basically the only two places you can find me. I do drive-by uploads on TikTok, but I don't spend any time there. That's really it.
Awesome. So make sure you guys follow, go check out her stuff. She has amazing teachings. The conversation we had tonight, she has like an in-depth 2-hour teaching that she did just a week ago on this topic. And I was like, I would love for you to talk about that on my show. So go check out that. She has a lot of great teachings and great interviews and podcasts. Once again, Angela, thank you so much for being on. And we'll have you back on soon, hopefully, if you're available.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was fun, as
awesome.
Always.
All right. We'll talk soon, Angela. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. God bless. Okay, guys, I'm going to give you guys a chance to partner with the ministry tonight. I know we kind of did that fast, but we are already way over time. We're way over time. We usually go like an hour and then we go like 30 minutes of talking and we're an hour and 40 minutes of just the podcast. So I want to give you guys a chance to partner. The links to give are there. If you are blessed tonight, if you want to see more of this content, more guests on, this was episode, I think it was 199. Yeah, this was episode 199 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. Next week is episode 200 of the podcast. So yeah, it's been 6 years we've been doing this and we're continuing going and we can't do this without your support. So I'm going to ask that everybody give something. Everybody partner in some way. This content is free. I want to send Angela a love offering. I want to bless her for being on tonight. She has a family to support. I got a family to support. So please partner with what we're doing. We're also asking people to monthly partner. You can do that on my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner or scan the QR code. You'll get 70 sermons that you can't find anywhere online, 20% off the merch store and all of invites to the 1 p.m. Thursday prayer call. Every Thursday, we have a prayer call at 1 p.m. You'll get invited to that. So there's the links to give, guys. Give somewhere. Give something. There's links there. Sow into what God is doing. We are a ministry. We do this full time, and we do this for free. And the only way we survive is by people partnering. So please partner. Once again, all the links to give are on screen. The links to give are there. You can scan the QR code. And also Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App, it's all there. Even if you give a dollar, if you give $5, whatever it is, it helps a lot. All right. Thank you so much for partnering. Thank you, Pastor Roger, for partnering. Really appreciate you. Thank you, Only by Grace. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Stabby. Jared and Candace will be live in like 5 or 10 minutes here. I'll have their thing open. They're going to have worship and prayer. I know we did go way over. I just want to give you guys a chance to give here. You guys know what to do. The links are there. This has been 6 years full-time. We're not on salary or staff at a church. We're just pushing full-time. This weekend, we will be in Georgia, Friday and Saturday. I think that event is full now. You can go to my website and see, click the link, and it'll say if it's full or not. We'll have a deliverance conference this weekend. And then in 3 weeks, June, what day is it? Let me give it to you right now. June 29th, I'll be preaching in Manteca, California at CWC Life. June 29th, Manteca, California at 10 a.m. You don't want to miss that. The building I'm preaching in is the building I got married in 12 years ago. So it's going to be a special event. I haven't been in this church in a long time, but I'll be back there. And it's going to be very, very special, like a homecoming. So you don't want to miss that, June 29th. All right, if you're looking for deliverance, I have a deliverance map where people are doing deliverance. You can go to isaiahsaldivar.com/deliverance or deliverancemap.com. And there's a lot of people in New York doing deliverance. You can find it there. All right. Yeah, don't do the rosary. It's idolatry. Do not do the rosary. Get rid of it. You don't need to go to the rosary. You need to go to Christ. You met me there. That's amazing. That's amazing. So yeah, everybody partner with somewhere. I want to send Angela a love offering tonight. So give on one of these links so I can send her something. Whether you guys give or not, I'm still going to send her something, but you can help me out. And then Jared and Candace will be live in 5 minutes. They'll be live in 5 minutes. All right. You found your pastor through the map, your apostle through the map. That's great. That's great. That's great. What'd you guys think about the podcast tonight? Wasn't that awesome? We are just grinding away, guys, posting content, posting streams, doing our best. It's been a long time we've been doing this, and we're doing our best to keep it going. Who else has been consistent for 6 years? Live multiple times a week. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but you know, they come and go, but here we are live, still going to be 7 years next year later, and we're still going strong multiple times a week. Carl's still alive and well right here next to me. Do you preach in churches? Yes. I'll be preaching in a church this weekend, and I'll be preaching in 3 weeks at another church in Manteca, California. Angela said, thanks for having me on. So much fun. We didn't get attacked by the starseed giggles this time. I told Angela, do not start talking about the starseed because I cannot stop laughing once we start talking about how she used to think she was an alien in some crop somewhere. I don't know. We start talking about the starseed. I start laughing hysterically, but we survived. We didn't do it. I know you guys like it when we joke around and laugh. But yes. Great streams. Great streams. Tune in late, but enjoy what I heard. You can go rewatch it. That's the beauty about YouTube is you can rewatch. You've been here 4 years. That's amazing. Process for married, delivering a married couple. I would deliver it separately. I wouldn't recommend doing it together. There's a lot of reasons, but yeah. The starseed thing, man, just gets me going. I just can't stop laughing. Reminds me of like Buzz Lightyear or something. You found me last year. Thanks for being here. What's with the bird? Oh, he's just our pet. It's our pet bird. All right, everybody, so something. I want to bless Angela tonight. So the links are all there. There's no reason not to sow something. If you can't afford it, of course, then don't feel obligated. The most important thing you can do is pray for us. Pray that God continues to use these platforms, spreading his word through these platforms. And the more people we reach, the better. So just keep praying for our ministry. If you can't afford to give, don't apologize. Don't be like, sorry, it's only a dollar. Don't worry about none of that. Pray for us. We need your prayer. Will you do another Ask Me Anything soon? Most likely Thursday. Although, you know what? I don't know if I'll be live Thursday because my wife's birthday is Friday. I'm going to be flying out Friday preaching on my wife's birthday. So we'll probably end up doing something together on Thursday. So I don't know if I'll be live Thursday. So just stay tuned. Stay tuned. But I'm going to be leaving Friday and then I'll be flying home Saturday late night to be in home in time for Father's Day on Sunday. Please don't send me anything. Oh, I'm going to. Carl will be in your mansion in heaven. Carl doesn't even realize he's famous. Yes, Jared will be going with me. So, you know, he'll be signing autographs there at the service. If you want Jared's autograph, he'll be there with a Sharpie in hand. Sign your t-shirt. I'm joking, but actually people are probably going to ask him to now that I said it. I have their link ready. We will be going there as soon as they're live. Thank you once again for giving on all the apps. I will read the Venmo, Cash App, and all that off stream. But thank you guys very much. You found me in early 2021. That's awesome. The process for delivering a married couple is I would get delivered separately. That's the process. Jared's going to be signing my name. My signature is Chicken Scratch. So good luck. Love you too, Thomas. All right. Thank you for partnering, guys. I'll send you an email tonight. If you partner on my website monthly, you'll get an email tonight. When are you going to have a conference with Angela, Vlad, and Mike? That sounds like fire. We will be doing a conference with all the Demon Slayers at the end of the year. Mike is on a sabbatical right now, guys. That's why we have had no Demon Slayer podcast. So blame him. All right. We tried to make a Demon Slayer podcast happen, but everybody's very busy. Vlad's traveling a lot. Me and Pagani will be together this weekend, together, preaching together. And Mike is on sabbatical. We're all still talking all the time. We're all still good friends. The Demon Slayers have not broken up. We just have been very busy and haven't been able to do a podcast, but we will be doing one, hopefully. I don't know when, because Mike's on sabbatical for 3 months, but hopefully sometime soon. Maybe we'll have to just do me, Vlad, and Pagani until Mike's back. But we're all still connected and good. Awesome show. Thank you so much. And guys, pray that these algorithms, that our live streams get promoted on the algorithms. Because live streaming has been very bad on YouTube. They're not really promoting live streams. So, yeah, it hurts because our numbers have been low on the live streams. I mean, tonight we had almost 1,000, which is great. Last night we had 1,700, but we used to have 2,000, 3,000 every time we'd go live. And that's just because YouTube is not recommending lives like they used to. So hopefully things change. The algorithms change often. So we're just going to grind through and hope things change. But yeah, obviously it affects us financially. It affects our reach. And we want more people to hear these messages, to hear the gospel and to hear about Christ and to get delivered. So Jared and Candace will be live. Yes, they will be live in just a minute. And I'll just type out their channel. There it is. If you're on YouTube, it'll automatically take you there. So when I end the live, just stay on and it'll automatically take you to their channel. Okay. You haven't seen my video pop up in months. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yes, when I end the live, stay on. Even when it says live stream has ended, it'll take you to Jared and Candace's channel if your autoplay's on. It makes me so sad when you say I haven't seen you pop up in months.
For always being there in a moment. Whenever you needed the Lord, he was always there.
Yes, after the video, as Angel just said, comment. When the video's over, leave a comment on the actual video once it's done. That's going to help the algorithm. Okay, Jared and Candace are live with worship and prayer. Let's get over there. They'll be live for about an hour with worship and prayer. So you guys got a lot tonight. We're going to be going there now. I posted a link in the comments. Let me post it again. Going here. That's where we're going. And I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Most likely I'll see you Thursday. If not, I'll see you next week. And hopefully we'll have some videos for you as well. Great stream tonight. I'll see you guys later. God bless. They are live. You can go there now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Feel free to go there now. Love you guys. I will see you guys soon. Soon, God willing. Unless the Lord takes us before next time I'm live. These videos are on the replay. Yes, you can watch them after.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.